the Beagles!
Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys. Not SoundCloud, Stitcher, of course, Almighty Baller Network, and NetsDaily.com. Brian.
Where else can you not find us?
You cannot find us for sure on the actual radio, but that apparently may happen soon. We may find out. Can't talk about that yet, but we'll see.
Mike, I walked by your house last night, late at night.
You didn't knock?
And I've noticed that on your street there's like five fitness centers. It's like the fitness district on your street, on your block.
It's
insane. I've never seen so much fitness on one street.
And it's I appreciate fitness, Michelle Obama, let's move a campaign, total supporter, but they are the two of the worst possible type of people. Show up to these two establishments.
they're not normal fitness places. There's no crunch. It's like they have strange themes. They seem to like be serving food at a lot of them or something. They're like designer fitness places.
That's a total. That's one phenomenon. Is the coffee shop within something that's unrelated to coffee? So that's happening. So I'm in between a Peloton and a Rumble. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you obviously now if you Google, you can figure out where I live. Pretty easily. But Peloton, if you don't know, is a crazy concept where they sell you a like $2,000 bike that has on it a internet connected TV that you could plug into classes from anywhere in the world. So it's whatever. And then Rumble is a boxing inspired gym that until recently I could hear the sound of speed bags going off in my apartment.
Did you do something about it? Did you complain?
I actually was an adult. I did adult things. I said I emailed. I met in person. But let me ask you this. So this situation. So I go and meet the guy in person. So the situation again. The sound of the speed bag, which was very rare, but I would hear it in the apartment. I went down and talked to the guy about it. He was very nice. Extremely nice. Thank you, Rumble. If you want to sponsor the podcast, we're right here for you.
Wow.
And he offered, though, during the conversation, he said, hey, Why don't I give you a class for free?
Wow.
I turned it down.
yeah.
Because
who has time for that, sir?
I didn't want to be beholden to him. I didn't then want that to be the transaction that I owe him something.
You don't want to get caught up in the Rumble vortex. That's how they get you, Mike.
Well, the problem with those gyms is that they are actually addictive, I think.
Yeah.
And the minute you do it, then you're done. It's your life is over.
This goes back into the when you're talking about the coffee shop fitness. This to bring it back to the Nets when they had
I'm excited to see where this goes. By the way,
what is that shoe store?
Well,
that has a cereal bar in it. This is when I first felt old for the first time when I was like a cereal bar in a shoe store. No.
How could anyone want that crap?
Yeah.
Was that in the net? Was that in Barclays?
No, it's like across the street. What the hell is it? It's got a
what motels?
It's like Kiffer Kiefer. I don't know,
Have you been to the candy bar in Barclays?
I've seen that, and I've never seen another human being inside of it.
Just me.
I've also seen the barber shops in Barclays, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's a whole awesome phenomenon.
How do you plan for that? Like how? I don't understand how that occurs to you. That I got like 15 minutes to spare.
Well, I think that's so, and we can kind of dive right into this. This is going to be how this team makes headlines over the next 5 years is so the biggest thing that the Nets have done all year is not win any amount of games that they have or whatever it may be. It's the biggie night. That is the only time, this Nets team has gotten on.
No, come on. This is a heck of a night. This is a big W for us.
So that was a big day. Obviously Nets win, exciting over the Knicks. I have a question for you later about whose fan base is more depressed, because I think needs to be addressed. But how do you feel about the biggie night? How do you feel about the Nets sort of latching on to an icon of New York City who really has no relation to the actual team. But, like, what are your feelings about it? Do you feel okay about it? Are you comfortable with it? Or are you feeling icky? I feel icky.
I don't claim to have any ownership over the marketing perspectives of deceased rappers. So, you know, I don't really have a dog in this race.
Right.
In general, though, I don't tend to be offended by this kind of thing. I don't know. It just seems like, you know, pretty rote cross promotional stuff. You know what I mean? I don't know.
But once you hang that banner, man, that is beyond cross promotion.
Oh yeah,
I forgot
about the banner. My God,
the banner's fantastic. I mean, okay. I have multiple feelings. One is that the banner's awesome. And during the TV broadcast, Sarah Kustak read the line "Love is the Brooklyn way," which was amazing in her delivery. It was not. She wasn't trying to do a Biggie impression, so it was fantastic. It's right next to Jay-Z's banner. That's also beautiful. But it feels – so I'm a DC sports fan, and Verizon Center, there are like four banners hanging up for the Mystics attendance records that they set, the Washington Mystics. And it's because the Wizards and Caps have done nothing. So it feels a little bit like that, like we got to fill the space somehow, and we're just going to put up something – that people are going to look at and tweet about. But that's like...
That was like when Paul Pierce joined the Nets and they were talking about Atlantic Division Championships. And he was like, I don't think we put those up in Boston. Like, I don't think we even cared about those.
Yeah. But yeah, we're putting up... So it was a beautiful night. I mean, it really was. It was like Charles Oakley was there, which is amazing that he showed up to a Nets game. Ice Cube was there. P. Diddy.
Wearing his big three... T-shirt. Did you hear that noise? That notification noise? Did that come through?
Barely. Just barely.
It did go through though, right?
Just barely. No. Well, I don't know. There's like a little squeak. I don't know if that was what it was.
Did you hear it again? Did you just hear that?
No. Oh. Why? Or would you be excited if it was? Because that means we could play audio on your...
Yeah, it would mean a couple of things. But anyways, what was I saying before?
No, it was a great night. I felt like if they're going to do it, I mean, it's fine to do it, but I feel like the team itself needs to be better to justify recognizing someone who has no relation to the team, only has something to do with the borough. It's one of those moves you make is if you are a bad team and you need to get some kind of draw for, like, when the Yankees stunk, like, recently, they would have old-timers day basically, like, every weekend where they'd bring back, like, Paul O'Neill or Scott Brosius or someone like that. And I worry that the Nets are going to tarnish not their standing, but they're going to become eventually. Are we going to go down this rabbit hole of people that we're honoring? And we're eventually going to get to Michael K. Williams night, and we're going to hang a banner of Omar, you know, like, is that where this is going to end up? I hope it doesn't. I hope this is a special circumstance that doesn't get repeated.
Yeah, let's not get carried away. No, I like that. But no, what we were going to say is Ice Cube and Oakley were sitting in their big three T-shirts. Did you see that?
Yeah, no.
Not missing the opportunity to do some marketing of their own there.
I'm really interested.
Did we talk about this last week, the big three?
I think we talk about it pretty much every week, but I still think we need to, because we're going to get Kenyon Martin on, but we are efforting Kenyon Martin. He's a part of this thing. You're going to make it happen. It's
going
to happen.
Do you want me to just play the role of Kenyon Martin for going forward, and you can interview me?
What's your general just takeaway on whether this will be a success? The big three.
I am personally very excited for it. Just as like a repository for my nostalgia for these players. I think it's an obvious like overflow for old people. I am also very interested to see just like how immobile, like Charles Oakley is a player coach in this thing. Charles Oakley, when was the last time he played a game of organized basketball? Like I have to think that there's some rust on those joints, Mike.
And like, why do we like basketball? We like it because it's like awesome and people dunk and they do fun stuff. And if you're Oakley, what is he going to do?
Here's what I like about basketball too, though. It's it's the narrative, you know. It's a story. It's one of the best sports, I think, because it marries in a lot of the major, you know, sports. There's not a whole lot you can do individualistically, you know, like we've talked about this before, but like, you know, in football, there's a great distance. Have you ever been to a football game, a live football game?
Yeah.
You don't really get much of a sense of the personalities of the player, do you?
No,
you don't really.
Doesn't, it's the least personality. That's why these guys retire and we have no clue who they are. Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm watching hockey, I don't think I've ever been able to tell one guy apart from, I mean, I don't watch hockey, but also like, you know, in baseball, there's you watching the pitcher primarily. So that, you know, you get that a sense of that person. But like, it's this interesting sort of amalgamation of a team sport that's really kind of small individual moments, and you get to see a lot of the personality there. And that's why I think this thing, you know, has some carryover, because you're just seeing the next, the last chapter, the denouement in Charles Oakley's career, and to see what a person with that kind of pugnacious demeanor looks like in his later years playing basketball, like some YMCA style basketball.
So like, that's my issue. I'm excited for it.
I mean, it's not going to be good basketball. I don't think anyone is going into it thinking that. I hope not, at least.
I'm excited, but like, we have seen celebrity basketball games, or how they had like, I think there's like the men's, women's, and old veterans 3-on-3 thing that they would do at the All-Star game sometimes. I forget what it was exactly, but it was like the Minnesota player would play with the Minnesota Lynx player, would play with a Minnesota legend of some kind. And that was never good. The legend is like never ever like, oh wow, he could still be doing this. Iverson will be interested. Like, is Iverson going to play the same way he played back in those like Matt Geiger Sixers teams? Is that how I mean, it's going to be
you gotta tune in, Mike.
I'm gonna tune. It's gonna be like a spike in the ratings at the beginning that people are gonna realize that these dudes can't ball.
I feel like there's gonna be a fair amount of fighting too. I just get the sense that they've got too many like frustrated old guys to not throw some 45-year-old elbows around.
And to be honest, if it's XFL basketball, if it's like you know, like after the Mouse in the Palace, the NBA cracked down on that kind of activities in basketball games, and this is like, listen, this is gonna get real. People are gonna be throwing down, people are gonna be pushing each other over. It's gonna be I would be into that for slightly a while. What they need is like a Rafer Alston type who isn't the NBA.
They get white chocolate. What are you talking about?
No, I mean like someone who isn't in the NBA, but impresses you enough that this guy could be in the NBA. Like a doctor.
They did.
What?
Sorry, they did say that they're going to have street legends too.
Yeah, like they need a guy who we can't see in the NBA, who is NBA quality that we don't really know about. They need the Dr. J ABA guy. They need the Rafer Alston, just like street ball guy who we like, wow, he could actually probably play in the NBA.
Yeah, like get what's his name? Hook Mitchell when he gets out of prison. That kind of thing. You ever see that guy, Hook Mitchell?
I'm afraid to go down the rabbit hole of saying, like, should they get Lenny Cook? But I don't know where Lenny Cook is in his life.
Dude, Lenny Cook has not touched a basketball in many years.
Let's see where Lenny Cook is. Anyways, big win over the Knicks. I mean, this team, is this just that the Nets have hit a lull in their schedule, in some way, and that they're winning some games? Or do we attribute this to Jeremy Lin? Like, does Jeremy Lin get just all the credit in the world for this?
Yeah. Yes, I think he does. No, I'm kidding. well, you know, it's not, it's difficult to say what the spiritual pivot here has been for this team. I think a lot of it has to do with, like, I hate to say this, but I you know, addition by subtraction. Mike, are you familiar with that term?
Oh, with Boyan?
Yeah, I think that was a really nice trade for everybody involved. I got to tell you, you know, it frees up LeVert to, you know, he's been, like, I think in his own mind, put over to the primary wing position. And I think that freedom has had an effect on him. Boyan has been thriving in his own right as a beneficiary instead of having to make plays all the time, which was not his comfort zone. It's just been a very nice even trade for everybody involved. No, you don't think so?
No. I mean, obviously for the Wizards.
It's not like a singularly attribute this like recent kind of surge to that trade.
To Boyan, it's the dark one of cloud a of Boyan.
It's one of a few things that's helped among them, Jeremy Lin's return. That kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think Lopez Brooks said after the Knicks game about someone must have asked him what Jeremy Lin's impact was on this team, and he says it's huge. It's the leadership. It's everything that he offers. And, I mean, it's practical that the fact that you get 25 to 30 minutes of Lin over Spencer Dinwiddie, your team is going to improve
significantly. I got to tell you,
Don't tell me.
First of all, Dinwiddie's
don't
improving.
Don't tell me about Dinwiddie.
How old do you think Spencer Dinwiddie is, by the way? Because I thought he was way older than he is.
Do you want me to click? I'm going to click on him right now. Let's
see. 23.
23 is pretty good.
Yeah, I thought he was like 26.
He's about to be 24. April
because
6th.
he had that goatee. I feel like 26 is a goatee kind of age, you know.
He looks like an old man kind of. He's got that.
But
thing
here's
going
the
on.
He does. He also has. It's just his body language is an old man. But anyways, I think Jeremy Lin though. I watched him very closely. I watched that next game twice, and he is. As I got to tell you, he may be the lockdown defender that you have been denying he is. He's really a like very conservative defender. Doesn't take a whole lot of chances or whatever. But he's smart. He's smart and he's one step ahead of some. I mean, Derrick Rose is not as quick as he once was, but still he's got a beat on him.
Wow, you're saying Jeremy Lin is smart, huh? Harvard, yeah, Harvard, Brian. No. Okay.
No,
yeah, maybe
no, I think not smart. He's got intuition. He's got you know, physical intelligence, Mike.
It's certainly, yeah. He's better than I said he was, but also I think it's partly aggression, anger, the fact that he hadn't been playing for too long. So I think
you're really getting inside of his head here.
I think that's fueling him defensively, where if he was playing all season, he would not be as keyed in defensively as he has been lately.
I'm going to go
as far as horrible to say, defensively. It's not as his, if
his value is on the defensive end. That's where primarily I think that's I would go as far as to say like he's a more valuable asset. I mean, like, look, Derrick Rose had his fit, whatever, 17 points. So he did fine on some like not great shooting, but he's very smart defender. Mike is I think it's his strength in this game.
Sure. Question.
Don't,
for you.
Wow. Okay. Don't brush me off like that again.
So we talked about this before, but so I guess Tim Bontemps, is this correct? Wrote something like a long piece about the Nets and just their prospects for the future, and essentially the thing was that 2021 is when the Nets can decide to be good again, and they also spoke about how they should probably trade Lopez and Lin. Pointing out the Bogdanovich trade, Bogdanovich is a guy that they could have re-signed for any amount of money. They could have matched any offer, but because he's 28 years old, and by the time the team is good, he will be 32, 33.
Yeah.
Brooke and Lin are the same age around, and that they should just be traded.
You know what's the least controversial thing to say?
Sure.
A bad NBA team can be good in 4 years. That's like, of course. That's about the timeline for every bad NBA team.
I don't even. Do you agree with it? Do you agree with that idea?
I mean, it's not. It's just not contentious. It's not like. I mean, do I agree with it? I think it only takes 4 or 5 years for a bad team to get good. Like, unless they're have like, you know, systemic issues with management or whatever. Like the Knicks, for example, have like, you know, Dolan is a big issue going forward, and that's going to be like a roadblock for them, you know, perennially. But yeah, I mean, like for any like bad team, it doesn't take, even if your prospects are as dim as ours, it doesn't take more than 4 or 5 years to get good.
Yeah, because if you just add one free agent every year, hopefully that is pretty decent, and then maybe draft two guys over that 4 year span that can be decent. That's your team. I mean, I know this is tough to say because they're the worst team in the league by far, but like, I really don't think they're that far from being, like just kind of respectable. I think because Marks has shown that he's a fairly smart GM. Atkinson has shown that he's a coach that is willing to do mostly anything to get his team in the right position. He's not a rigid coach. And if your team stinks, you can't have a coach that's like completely rigid that won't bend for what he wants to do. I think if they add like two more legitimate NBA players and draft two guys that can do something for them next year, you're going to see like a 12 win improvement or something. And then it gets the ball rolling to decency.
I think also just saying good is kind of a like meaningless, term. Like what, like good is what? I don't know what good, there's a variety of kinds of good, right?
Right.
Well, like good meaning like playing for a championship in 5 years, probably not. Right. But
no.
good being like, you know, having the structure in place to be in position to talk about championships going forward? Yeah, probably something like that. That's if that's what they're getting at. But also, I mean, in that thing, there's like the Nets aren't going to be good next season. It's like, okay, but what is good? What is good? I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I mean, to be honest, for the Nets, like if they just get two wing players who can do something. You can do something with the ball or score in some way or a really good shooter and are multidimensional. Not great Allen Crabb types is who I'm talking about here. That would vastly improve the entirety of the team. And we saw this with Jeremy Lin right now. Jeremy Lin is on this now is playing point guard again. And that makes their bench point guard minutes even better because instead of having to shove, again, Randy Foy or Dinwiddie or whoever there for 30 minutes a game, they're only playing 18, and there's a fresh 18, and Jeremy Lin's playing a pretty nice 25, and it works out overall.
Are we almost ready to start talking about the draft, or is that something? Are those prospects starting to solidify in any way, or is it just totally all over the place for you?
No. I mean, it's what's really interesting, especially with this team, is that so they've already shown that they've gone the Isaiah Whitehead's not that unusual, but LeVert was a pretty unusual pick. And that there's so many international dudes that if you look on Draft Express, there are just so many of them who are like 7 feet tall, weigh 200 pounds, all shoot threes, and don't play basketball. They just don't. Yeah. They're just on the bench somewhere in some place. Mm-hmm. And to me, it would be unusual if the Nets suddenly took like just like two 19-year-olds who aren't really good in America. It'd make more sense for them to get like, if they're going to try to find the market inefficiency, it'd be getting the international dudes. That's still, we have no clue how to judge them compared to anything. It's going to be, again, the draft is good. I mean, but when you're, now that the Wizards are playing so well and the Celtics, obviously, that those are the two picks that they have. They're going to be drafting, you know.
It is nice to go into a draft with some, you know, modicum of trust in the management to pick a good person. I haven't felt that way in a very long time.
What was I going to grab you for? Let's talk Knicks Nets depression. My take is I think the Knicks have moved and taken the crown of depression from the Knicks. The Knicks have taken the crown of depression from the Nets. They shouldn't be because they have Kristaps and they have Carmelo, but they are like the Knicks fans are just depressed. I mean, you look on our Twitter feed, if we say anything about the Nets, we say anything about the Knicks, they don't even fight back anymore. There's not even, we used to get pushback.
There seems to have been like a breaking point here, hasn't it? Because they used to be just like almost like totally insensitive, like you're still our kid brothers kind of thing, even though that, you know, that's totally up for debate. But it does seem like there has been a breaking of their will, hasn't there?
And it shouldn't be, right? Because they do have Kristaps and they have Carmelo. I think there's only so long that you can have a bad owner that you can have faith that anything's going to be different. I mean, they took the biggest swing possible of getting Phil, who is the greatest or second greatest basketball coach of all time. And the situation is not any better than it was under Isaiah or anyone else that they have.
You know, it's really like a source of disappointment. I would say if I were a Knicks fan watching the end of that Knicks Nets game and their crunch time strategy is just Carmelo in the corner chucking threes. It's just contested threes on top of everything. It's like this is horrible. This is horrible to watch.
It's horrible.
It was great as a Nets fan to watch that happen because he hits them. You know, it's like he hits his like 45% or whatever. But it's just such a horrific play every time.
I don't know what I know. Carmelo's thinking like he doesn't want to leave because he loves New York and he probably hates Phil so much right now that he'd rather like wait out Phil and wait out leaving Phil. And Melo probably doesn't consider himself the issue, but I mean, it's just like that is the, I think them and the Bulls, which is funny because Wade and Carmelo are such good friends, but like those are the two weirdest teams in the league that have no clue what they want to do. And they have all these pieces that don't, none of them fit together. None of them make sense. And almost like they should all both, they should swap players and basically be like, Carmelo's be like, I'll go to Chicago and play with Wade. The Bulls you get, and then the Bulls get like Derrick Rose back again and Joakim Noah back again. And the Knicks just get all the young players and see like how everything shakes out. I mean, they're an absolute depressed situation.
I'm gonna do a statistical deep dive on Carmelo Anthony in the clutch, because I think that could explain why he's like, you know, a good player that can't seem to ever win anything.
Why? That he doesn't.
His decision making skills in the last 4 minutes of a game seem terrible to me. They just seem really bad. Well, don't they? I don't know.
They're very like. There's no next level with him. It's not like. Like, you know, how everyone used to yell at LeBron because he would pass the ball in these big situations. But it's like, mm-hmm. Carmelo is very much like, oh, I've got the ball. All right. I'm going to shoot the ball. Like, there's not like, maybe I'll try to get the defense in a bad position and then we'll pass it around. It's just very much like, I got the ball. I'm just going to shoot it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So I guess to answer your point, I mean, like, this is the age old conundrum of like assets versus management. You know, you can do a lot with bad management and good assets, right? And you can't do much with good management and bad assets. So it's, I wouldn't say it's exactly, you know, even I would prefer at this moment to just based on like, just what I have seen and heard about the Dolan, contingency, it's that would be very hard to root for at the moment, I think, just on a spiritual level, you know, just the way that everything is in the world, you know, I would like to not root for one of these types of people again.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? On the big philosophical scale.
It's a tough thing to love a team so much and then but hate the person who owns that team. So, yeah. And you know, like, you know what's going to happen if the Knicks ever become good again? There's going to be some idiot who writes an article about how Dolan's changed his ways and he's the credit because he changed it and he brought his magical touch in and he helped them out. And there'll be someone who say, give us the Dolan has changed article, when I doubt that. I mean, the dude's what, 50 years old now, however old he is. It's not like he's going to suddenly not be a terrible owner.
Is he only 50 years old? I got to look at this.
I don't think he's that old. He can't be that old. Maybe he is, but
he's 61.
Oh, well, looks good for 61.
It does. It does.
Good. Anything else before we go to news?
No, let's do some news.
It's the news!
All right, go, go.
All right, news around the league here. So we're in that time of the year when playoff positioning is crucial. Everyone's kind of moving up and down the standings. We're trying to figure out where everything is. We're doing this today on Tuesday, and as we speak Tuesday, the Warriors have been knocked from their perch as the number one seed in the West. Mm-hmm. The San Antonio Spurs are the number one seed via a tiebreaker, and they have lost. What have they lost? 5 of the last 7. The Warriors have. Which the Nets then are a better team right now than the Warriors. I think we can justifiably say that. And also, meanwhile, in Cleveland, the Cavs defensively have been horrible, and the Wiz and Celtics are only a couple games back.
Mike, so, what's going on with your Wiz, man? What is going on over there?
You excited for that? Is that the...
I gotta be honest, that's my playoff, I don't know what you call it. This is my pet team in the playoffs right now.
I mean... Again, I said it, you know, that Boyan would become Klay Thompson playing with John Wall. It's happened. He's better than Klay Thompson. He's maybe Steph Curry. He's maybe at the Steph Curry level. But I mean, they did lose to Minnesota, so it's like the same old. They're not like completely dominant. And I think overall, it's not going to mean much. But it's exciting to actually follow these that Beal and Wall can play together. But before and for the longest time, it's been a foregone conclusion that the Warriors and Cavaliers were going to meet again in the finals. But again, as I said, Spurs are now tied in the standings, but first seeding, and the Cavaliers are not that good right now. Is there wiggle room? The question to you, is there wiggle room for a finals that is not a rematch, and who would that be? I mean, that's... Because we can easily say that, yeah, the Warriors and Cavs are struggling, but like, who would be the team that would knock them off?
I don't want to break your heart here, Mike, but it's not going to be an Eastern Conference team coming out. I hate to. I know that your hopes are high right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think there's. I'd be if I if another question would be, are you more worried about the Warriors or Cavaliers? I'd be way more worried about the Warriors right now, just in terms of teams that they yes. have to play. They have the Spurs are obviously just as good, and Durant, you have no clue if he's going to come back.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, and I think that like the there's sort of been a this has kind of been like talked about a little bit over the course of the season, but that there's a zigging to a zagging movement. Like the Warriors have exposed a like pretty severe weakness, which is that they don't play well against teams with formidable interior players. Right, they did poorly against even like DeMarcus Cousins on his own, but like Memphis and San Antonio. So, and not that they have like, you know, like that those players are like specifically interior, but just big men in general. And so there's like, I think that they've almost shot the moon on going like so guard heavy, you know, or so, so wing heavy. And I mean, not again, not that that's like, you know, they're still, you know, hyper dominant or whatever, but there is a small, there's a small window there where there used to not be. Am I right? Or am I wrong?
No, I mean, and what's really going to be interesting is that, so if the Warriors are the two seed, let's play this out a little bit. That means that they're going to get the Rockets in round two, which the Rockets wouldn't abuse them on the inside. But Zach Lowe said this on his podcast last time that he talked to Daryl Morey, and Morey is essentially like, we're building this team so that we hope to make 23s in four different games in a series. That would be pretty tough to beat overall. The Rockets would make things much tougher. I mean, even if they were the one seed, the Jazz have got like, I mean, they are the most interior of interior teams, and they have, it's just the problem with the Warriors that Durant became the pseudo center in a way for this team, at least the rim protector. And Draymond had been put in the closet essentially from that aspect. And it's tough to then like totally switch him back to being prowling the paint Draymond. I mean, that's not like an easy button just to press. The Spurs are like, and again, because Kawhi Leonard doesn't speak, Tim Duncan's not on the team anymore, and Manu and Parker are both old, but like, I honestly can't tell you how the Spurs are like that phenomenally great right now. It's just that Kawhi is, I guess, incredible, and they just have every person, everyone on their team like plays a certain position. They just play it so well. I honestly, seriously can't tell you why the Spurs are so good. It doesn't make sense to me. I thought they were going to not be that good this year after so many years.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, I haven't watched the last like month worth of Golden State Warriors games just because I've just wanted to watch other games, I guess. But I don't know, like has the Zaza Pachulia signing, like is that going to fix any of those problems that we talked about going forward? Or is that, I mean, like,
I don't, like, I mean, so it depends on like what you want from Zaza. And then, but the whole issue is that like, so it's sort of like what the Rockets are doing, right? Like when Zach Lowe was talking about his podcast, they were saying how the Rockets didn't get a traditional center. They wanted Bogut, but they didn't get one beyond anyone that they wanted from Bogut, because it was like, no one's going to make us that much better defensively. And so like Zaza can probably do part of the job defensively on some big guys. But in the end, the best thing for the Warriors is to have Kevin Durant at the five or Draymond at the five. And if Durant's not playing, or if he comes back at the start of the playoffs, it's going to make it much more difficult to figure out like who in their area, how they're going to be able to hold their ground. I mean, there's just too many good teams. Even the Clippers. The Clippers get beat by the Warriors all the time. The Clippers are going to be, if without Durant, the Clippers are going to be much more easier to beat against the Warriors. I don't know. I mean, it's...
You know what I watched part of recently? Again, what? Have you ever seen Hoop Dreams Part 2?
No.
Hoop Dreams Part 2. This up. What's that?
What is it? There's a part 2 to Hoop Dreams?
Yeah, it features Patrick Beverley. Follows, but it's and there's a great part where Patrick Beverley, so it's AG is, I forget, Arthur AG is like, so he's like grown now and he's like trying to impart knowledge about like what it's like to, you know, all the lessons you learn from Hoop Dreams and so on and so forth. And there's a part where it's like dead of night, it looks pretty cold, Patrick Beverley is just like shooting free throws by himself, and Arthur Agee is talking to him, and he's just like not paying any attention. He's like, I don't need to hear anything you're telling me. Like it kind of informed me a little bit about to like, you know, what kind of a player he turned out to be. I don't know. He's just like so singular minded. I've just been like in awe of Patrick Beverley recently. Really enjoyed watching him.
Yeah. And it's incredible. It's so funny you say that, 'cause it really is like exactly who he is. Like, he just doesn't, he's not going to conform to any standard. Beverley has never been anything other than what he technically is, which is just an agitator, somewhat ball handler. And that's all he's going to be. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that in the East, it's unlikely, because once Kevin Love does come back, and I have more faith that he'll come back and be fine than Durant at this point, Cleveland will be fine for the most part, especially because they got Deron Williams. The West is going to be extremely interesting, and I don't even think that the Spurs are necessarily a shoe-in or the Warriors. I mean, it could really be pretty much any of the top five teams. The Clippers could even get in there. But we'll see.
You think so?
One more thing. Vince Carter, okay, our old buddy, went 6-for-6 from three last night with the Grizzlies. He's a free agent at the end of the season, Brian. let me throw this idea out to you, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
The Nets want to put fannies in the seats. Vince Carter is a pretty good player.
Sure.
Would you be upset if you saw the headline, Nets sign Vince Carter for something like 2 years, $25 million total? Would that upset you?
I think it would, honestly. That's not the direction I want to see this team going in.
The thing is, he's actually a good player. He's a good basketball player. He can do what this team would need, which would be a win scorer.
I don't know, man. His numbers are not so hot. Honestly, I mean, he's shooting like 40% from the floor or something. He's not doing well.
He's still solid. He still gets it done. He was effective. He was one of the better players. He's one of the better wing players the Grizzlies.
Don't get me wrong. I love me some Vince Carter.
Oh my God! Couldn't you see they're gonna put him on every poster?
Mike, you're a headlines guy, and I get it. I get why you're
the
into
Vince
it.
Is back.
Yeah, like I get that? Why you're into it, but it's
the Vince is back.
You know, any minute that goes to Vince Carter should be going to Randy Foy, in my mind.
How dare you? How dare just you, kidding. Sir?
I'm just kidding.
I'm pro re-signing Vince Carter, and I'm going to start that movement. One last thing, LeVar Ball. We talked about LeVar Ball before, the father of Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
This is just cracks me up. So people are very mad this time. People are very mad at LeVar Ball because LeVar recently said that he could take Michael Jordan one-on-one. He would have destroyed Michael Jordan easily.
Yeah.
What is the craziest thing about this storyline to me is that, so we've kind of gone through like before when he was talking about his sons and putting pressures on his sons. And I understood the idea that maybe LeVar shouldn't be talking about his sons and hyping them up so much because it puts too much pressure on them in some way. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But now people are... I've seen commentators take it seriously what LeVar Ball is saying. That they're taking seriously that then they have to analyze the situation. They've gone down to look at, well, LeVar Ball averaged like 2 points at Washington State his freshman year. There's no way that he could be able to beat MJ 101. It was like, well, yeah, of course he can't beat MJ 101. But that's not the dude's just an S talker. He's a carnival barker. He's a grade A promoter. That's what he's going to do. He just talks crap the whole time. Don't take him seriously.
Did you watch the ESPN promo for the Meet the Ball Family like mini thing that they're doing?
No.
You're going to love this. You have to watch it.
Oh, my God.
It's Lonzo Ball and his brother playing like in the backyard or something. And his kid brother takes him off the dribble and he like slips like ever so slightly, and his little brother goes berserk and runs into the house and tells the whole family, and the whole family comes out to laugh at their star college player's son. And LeVar Ball was like, he's like, we go hard in these hills. You've been getting so soft up there. It's really good. You have to watch it.
I mean, I'm ready for – I've told you I'm ready for the entire Ball family to be in our
the
lives.
The Ball family looks like a hoot. It looks like it's going to be a real hoot.
And like the other most famous family we have right now in the NBA is the Curry family.
Yeah.
Could it be nicer? Could it be more like – just straight down the middle suburban, just happy to be here, very, very polite, just
– yeah.
Like the dad's, you know, Del Curry's there. He's very calm in the stands, watches his sons, doesn't try to take too much credit for Curry. And then now we have LeVar Ball, who's just like, I married my wife because I thought she'd make good kids, that we would mate well together. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I don't know.
You like that, huh?
Ah, yeah. I mean, that's.
You're all about the kids yourself.
Yeah. Right? That's what I married my wife. So I don't know. What kind of kids would we produce? Not athletic kids. I don't want my kids to play sports. So
cross-eyed invalids.
Nice. Yeah. That's the Glue Guys podcast, Brian.
Oh, we did it.
We did
everyone it. Everyone in the can.
Hopefully everyone survived the blizzard today. Yeah. Kind of
It's a pretty weak blizzard again.
And it's so funny. I was walking around with Georgie, my dog. Yeah. Love of my life. And it's like there's something like I enjoy so much about weather talk. Just everyone you talk to, same conversation. Wasn't that bad today, huh? And then everyone gets their meteorologist hat on, and it's just so.
So wait, when you're out and about, you just talk to random passerby all the time about the weather.
When you have a dog, that people come up to you to start talking to you. That's what happens. Yeah, the dog park. Everyone's talking to each other.
How big of a part of dog ownership, when you were thinking, like, I want to get a dog, a big part of it, like, I need to talk to more strangers.
Yeah.
How can I get in the good graces of everyone I pass?
How can I talk? What's a good icebreaker? Owning an animal. That's right.
Good. You did it.
All right. So I think it's tonight. Yeah. The Nets are playing the Thunder tonight. The game's happening because the blizzard wasn't.
Ooh, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, that'll be okay. It'll be interesting to see the emotion level of Russell Westbrook against a team that obviously isn't prepared to handle it. But it'll be exciting.
Hey, we got our lockdown defender on him, so no worries there for me.
So the Nets are making their playoff push, so thank you for listening and stay with us throughout the NBA playoffs.
Nice. Where can you follow us?
At BKGlueGuys on Twitter, iTunes, you know, give us a rating. Doesn't matter what. Hopefully it's five.
Hopefully five, please.
Hopefully five. Give us a rating. And again, Almighty Baller Network and SB Nation, we're on Nets Daily. And read all the content. Click on every article on Nets Daily at least five times. Please do. If you could do that, that'd be great.
Good.
Brian.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Take care. All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.